Hi, I'm Jamie, and thank you for checking out Bad Dreams. Before we get started, I want to note, these are all listener-submitted stories. If you have a scary story of any kind, fact or fiction, please send it to baddreamspodcast@gmail.com. Address in the description. Bad Dreams is a horror podcast featuring strong language, violence, and situations not suitable for all ears. Viewer discretion is advised. I work as an outside sales manager for a massive steel company. For anyone who doesn't know, all outside sales means is I travel all over to make sales. Sales outside of the office. The job pays well, but I am on the road a lot. On the plus side, the company usually puts me up in nothing short of 5-star hotels and always flies me first class. I usually meet a potential client in the upscale part of a major city. We eat and drink the first night, then on the next day, we get down to business. It's always in a major city and always in the fancy part of town. It was a Friday when my boss called me to let me know next week I will be going out to Los Angeles. He said it was some new developer who has some big contracts coming up. It was my responsibility to put in our bid for supplying the steel. Monday came around. I caught my flight, landed, and Ubered to the hotel. To my surprise, it was the hotel that was very famous for being haunted. I'll leave the name out. Aside from the ghost stories, I have been told it was some of my colleagues' favorite hotels to stay in. I'm not sure why it was their favorite though. It was just some run-of-the-mill, fancy, overpriced hotel. Sure, it was nice and all, but definitely not favorite-worthy in my book. In need of a major update, if you ask me. As you enter through the tall glass doors, you are greeted and ushered to the front desk where you would check in. Behind you is a dual grand staircase wrapping around that half of the room. At the top of the staircase is the bar and lounge area. On the ground floor where I currently stood were the restrooms, and I needed to take a piss. Just a side note, I suffer from, stage fright. I have a hard time peeing knowing other people are in the room, so as a rule of thumb, I check the entire room, stalls and all, to make sure I'm either alone or alone enough. The restroom was empty, so I relieved myself. As I was washing my hands, I was startled by the sound of a toilet flushing, followed by the sound of a stall door unlocking and a man's footsteps approaching. What the hell? I thought I was alone. I checked every stall, and nobody. I didn't even pee for that long, and I certainly would have heard someone come in. Sure enough, a man dressed in a staff uniform came out, but he didn't seem to notice me. That, or he was ignoring me. I thought the staff had their own restrooms in the back of house. It didn't bother me that he was using guest restrooms, but I've never actually seen an employee use the guest restrooms. The man washed his hands and left. No eye contact, no head nod, nothing. My eyes followed him in the mirror as he made his way to the door. But just before he reached the door, he disappeared right in front of it, out of thin fucking air. How could that be, I thought to myself. The faucet he used was still dripping. I took a deep breath and reminded myself where I was and that I was running on almost no sleep. I splashed water on my face and made my way to my room. I didn't have any plans to meet with the client until tomorrow afternoon, so I decided to go to the bar. It was dimly lit with 5 or so people scattered throughout the room, some on their phones, others watching the game. It was quiet, off-putting even. "What can I get you?" the man behind the bar asked. "Gin and tonic, please," I said. "Busy night?" I joked. "Quiet night," he laughed. As he turned to make the drink, I noticed a couple sitting at a table off to the side that I didn't notice before. The male in the couple was the same man I saw in the bathroom, but he was dressed in a suit this time. "First one's always on D," the bartender said as he tossed a coaster in front of me, placing the drink on it. Who's D? I asked, seemingly coming back to earth. "D is me," he said, pointing to his name tag. "Oh, duh, sorry." It's been a long day," I said, taking a deep breath. Traveling exhausts me. I love the action of it. constantly needing to be places, first class, fancy dinners, but it definitely takes its toll. Traveling for business or pleasure? Dee asked. Business. Sales, I answered. I see, replied Dee. Can I ask you, is this hotel actually haunted? Like, have you experienced anything? Dee dropped his head down, letting out a breath with laughter. I'm sorry, I'm sure you get tired of hearing the same dumb questions, I laughed. No, it's not that. It's definitely haunted, Dee said. What is it then? I questioned. You'll see, he muttered. A few drinks went down way too easily, and Dee called last call. I got up to go outside for my last cigarette of the night. It was downpouring. I figured it was late, so standing under the awning and breaking the 15 feet from the door rule wouldn't be a big deal. As I reached for my pack of cigarettes, I heard the door open from behind me. Hey, you can't smoke here. It was Dee. I turned around, placing my cigarette back in the pack, ready to blow smoke out of my window before I stood in the rain for a cancer stick. I'm just fucking with you, Dee laughed, as he pulled out a pack of his own. At this point, I was wasted. I took a few drags of my cigarette before tossing it, exchanged pleasantries, and stumbled to my room, but not before I was shoved into the rain by the man from the restroom and bar. He was panicked. He ran into the street and turned around. His shirt was covered in blood spatter, his eyes filled with rage. He suddenly began sprinting towards me, but before running into me, he disappeared again. I must have looked like an idiot standing in the pouring rain, blankly staring at Dee. Told you you'll see, he said with a smirk. I nodded and quietly stumbled my way back to my room. I went down, face first, damp clothes, on top of the covers. I was shot up awake. I was still drunk from before. It must have been a few hours after I passed out because my clothes were completely dry. I remember hearing the sound of a door slowly creaking. I couldn't tell where it was coming from as I only saw my room for a few minutes before hitting the bar. I don't know if it stopped or I just fell back asleep, but I woke up the next day, hungover. I had breakfast, showered, and headed out to meet with the client. The meeting and dinner went really well. So well, it was about 1 a.m. when I yet again stumbled into my hotel room to pass out in my clothes. I swear, I don't do this often. I woke up in a panic sometime later. It was still dark and I couldn't move. It felt like I was being held down by my arms and ankles. As I struggled in my bed, I saw the closet door start to slowly creak open, then close, then open again, then close. It did that about two more times before it stayed open and a dark figure came out. It took its time slowly walking towards me, like it knew how much it was freaking me out. It bent over, putting its face inches from mine. It was the man from the restroom and bar, but he looked pissed. His face was dirty and had cuts all over it. I could taste his hot, stale breath on my tongue. Get out, he said in a deep, guttural voice. The next thing I knew, I was shot back awake from the pounding on the hotel room door. It was housekeeping. I overslept and missed checkout time, and probably my flight. I was in such a rush to get my things and get to the airport, I had completely forgotten about what I later believed to be sleep paralysis at the time, until I got home. Throughout the day, I felt achy in my arms and legs, like a burning sensation. When I got home and showered, I saw clear hand marks right where it hurt, under my arms and ankles. I haven't experienced anything like that since, but I can absolutely say that the hotel is most definitely haunted.
My Aunt's Haunted House by narrated by Charlotte Norup. My aunt used to live in this big old house on one of the two main roads of my hometown. I never really believed it, but she claimed it to be haunted. I thought my mom and aunt were just joking when they'd tell their experiences. I was wrong. The very last time I spent the night there, I was with my cousin. I had decided to sleep on the living room couch. During the night, I was woken up by kids running through the living room and a man chasing them, all laughing and giggling. But there were no children. I could distinctly hear when the people were near by the volume of their laughter and steps. I never spent the night there again. A few years later, my family was hanging at my same aunt's house. My mom and her went to the store while the others were playing outside. It was too hot for me, so I decided to just stay in the living room and draw. I didn't think anything creepy would happen because it was daytime, but after some time I felt a rush of cold air on the back of my neck and felt something touch my shoulder. I whipped around and to see the silhouette of an adult figure turn the corner into the kitchen. I got up and followed the figure, but the kitchen was empty. My mom wanted to add, her and my aunt were hanging out in her room while the kids, myself included, were at school. My mom said that the phone started to ring, and when they answered it, it was just static and a voice that said, "Help." They got scared and disconnected the phone. A few minutes later, the phone started to ring again, even though it wasn't connected. When they answered it, it was the same static noise and voice saying, "Help." My mom told me she got up and just left after that because she was so freaked out. When I asked my aunt about the ghosts, she went on saying that the ghost or spirit would actually throw stuff at her. One day she was getting ready to make dinner and opened the cabinet door to decide what she wanted to make. While it was open and she was actively looking inside, a can was scooted off and fell down from the shelf. By this time, she was used to the ghost stuff, so she just ignored it and continued looking. The next time a can was pushed off with enough force, it actually went at her and hit her foot, breaking one of her toes. After that, chairs would be pushed out and glasses would be found broken in place. Finally, her bookshelf fell over with so much force, the wood actually broke and splintered everywhere while she was in the other room. It was around that time she had plans to move out, and thank God she did. Years later, one of the teenagers of the family that ended up moving into her house brutally murdered the entire family one night. Police reported him to be in some kind of trance, in which hours later he snapped out of. He had no recollection of the murders, but told police he was kidnapped that night and woke up here in the police station. He sits in a facility for the criminally insane with life sentence.
American Psycho, Neighbor Edition, by Big Dan 6. In 2014, on Halloween night, I was almost a victim in a mass murder. My cousin took my younger brother out trick-or-treating, and my parents were out at a workplace Halloween party, so it was just me, myself, and I at home. My dad loves movies, and he keeps an entire closet of DVDs, Blu-rays, and other special editions. I decided to have a movie night and obviously do the giving candy to trick-or-treaters part as well. I watched the first Rambo movie and then Kick-Ass 2. When I started getting into the horror part, I heard a weird noise come from outside, a noise which I can only describe as something being stabbed repeatedly. I checked it out, but then I realized it was just some shitty sound effect on a kid's costume that I heard before they could even ring my doorbell. I gave them some candy and got back to my movie marathon. Up next was one of my favorites, American Psycho, the tale of Wall Street banker Patrick Bateman, who is a brutal and crazed serial killer at night. Well, my neighbor Frankie was obsessed with American Psycho. He apparently started to live like Bateman, following the same bizarre morning routine as Bateman, and even purchasing prostitutes weekly. Apparently, he drew diagrams of naked girls and what he would do to them. Before his Facebook was removed, he posted pictures of him holding knives and captioning quotes from the movie, such as, "I killed a lot of people," and, "Hey, Paul!" He also posted pictures of his Huey Lewis and the News album collection, which was a part of a famous scene from the movie. Well, anyway, Frankie knocked on my door, dressed like Bateman. He had a suit with a translucent coat over it and a bloody axe. He smelt as if he just rolled around the back meat room of a butcher shop. He began screaming in my face, "I'm Patrick fucking Bateman. I killed a lot of people." I immediately screamed back at him and told him to shut up. There was a group of 6-year-old trick-or-treaters walking by. He somehow knew I was watching American Psycho. He kept asking if he could watch the movie with me, but I told him to simply fuck off and slammed the door in his face. He didn't like that very much. He began pounding on the door, screaming all sorts of obscenities. "Open the fucking door, you pussy! I'm gonna fucking kill you!" And then he would go back to the calm and pathetic begging. "Come on, man, please. I just want to watch it with you, like old times." "Fuck off, Frankie," I yelled. After about 10 minutes of this, the knocking suddenly stopped, and the motion light on my porch went off. I figured he got the point and just gave up. He's crazy and weird, but harmless. And I've never been so wrong. Every so often, I would hear the sound of footsteps on the side of my house and pebbles hitting the glass on my windows. Now, it wasn't unusual to hear people cutting through my property. Behind my house was a small wooded area that led to the schools. That's where everything the town had to offer was. And since it was Halloween, the drama club's haunted houses and trails were going on. We lived in a quiet, small town, so my family didn't mind people cutting through our property. But I knew it wasn't random people going to the festival. It was Frankie. "Go home, Frankie," I yelled. "It's Patrick fucking Bateman," he furiously whispered as his face pressed against the screen. I started panicking. I jumped up to slam the window shut and lock it. I didn't mind him having a little bit of Halloween fun by trying to scare me, but that was too far. The next thing I knew, he was using his American Psycho replica axe on my front door. The replica was a legitimate functioning axe. Why they would need to make it usable, I'll never understand. I dialed 911 and told him I'm calling the cops. I ran to the kitchen and grabbed the largest knife I could find. Then I did what I always rolled my eyes at in horror movies, but here I am doing it myself. I ran upstairs and hid in the closet. I had a fire escape, but that was in the other room. At this point, Frankie was in the house. He broke down the front fucking door. I could hear his footsteps slowly roaming up the stairs, step by step. I could feel my heart beat out of my chest as I tried to control my breathing. He was deliberately walking slowly. He was always about the dramatics. Luckily, I saw flashing blue and red lights come into view. Frankie started laughing hysterically and yelled, "I'm Patrick fucking Bateman!" one more time before running down the stairs and out of the house. I heard the police yell at him to get down, then two gunshots. Apparently, he charged the two police officers. Right before he was within swinging distance, one of the officers shot him. It was not fatal, but enough to put the nightmare to an end. 2 days later, the detective assigned to the case informed me he was not only being charged for the offenses against me, but he is also being charged for the murders of two people and the decapitation of his own cat. Apparently, he bludgeoned his wife to death with a replica axe and then a teen trick-or-treater. He chopped the two of them up and placed their limbs all over his front yard to look like Halloween decorations. The detective said for years he'd been planning to go on a 15-person killing spree, the same amount of people killed in American Psycho on Halloween. Apparently in prison, he kept confessing to Paul Allen's murder. The situation that I was in could have ended a lot worse, especially knowing his intentions of a mass murder. I haven't seen American Psycho since. Be sure to follow Bad Dreams on social media and rate, review, and subscribe to Bad Dreams wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.